John chapter 1 this morning, John chapter 1 and also John chapter number 8. I just want to say one more time how I thank our church and appreciate everyone that took place in the activities yesterday concerning the housewarming and also the youth meeting. I was really proud of our youth. They did it all pretty much, besides stay up all night and cook. But anyway, I need to learn how to cook in the daytime instead of in the nighttime. But I want to thank y'all. Give them a hand, our youth a hand. We love them and appreciate them. And listen, they worked hard and did a great job. And then they won the Bible Bee, and so we're glad of that. Amen. It's a blessing. I got 100 points, and all the churches participate in that. And I was blamed for Josiah. I was blamed for getting the answers from you and giving it to our kids. Somebody was just picking on me about it. I thought, you must have got the answers, but we didn't. Yeah, the Bible. They just love to study, and they're competitive, and that's good in a way, as long as it don't go out of bounds. And so we're thankful for what they did, and thankful for those that were here and everybody that participated. It was such a blessing to me to see. Just everything just work out good, and they just worked so hard, and God rewarded them for that. And so we appreciate the Lord for that. He's so kind to us, to allow our church to be a blessing to other people and to minister to them. So praise the Lord. All right, John chapter number 1, verse number 16. You have to excuse me if I have to stop and clear my throat a little bit. John chapter 1, verse number 16. The Bible says, "And of His fullness have all we received. And of His fullness have all we received." There's some deep stuff in this verse concerning the fullness of God. If you look in Philippians chapter 4, Paul talks about the fullness of God. And 1 John talks about the fullness of God in bodily. And I'm just thankful this morning that in this body, in this physical life that we go through, the things that we go through, we can experience God. We can experience the fullness of God. God's not just a man that's sitting up in heaven, gray-headed and wringing his hands, sitting on the throne, worried about what his people are doing. Amen? God is in control. Never think for a moment, church, that God is not in control. But He's not a God that's separate from His children. Amen? He's not over there and we're over here. Amen? He is an omnipresent God. And He's omnipresent, so you and I can be in the very presence of God in this earthly life. Whether you're the three Hebrew children in the fire, and the fourth man shows up, amen, in the fire, and you say, well, and the king Nebuchadnezzar said, who is that fourth man? He said, he's likened to the Son of God. It's identification of the Son of God. Even the world knows when God shows up. But God does not eliminate Himself or separate Himself from His people. I'm thankful that we, as even sinful human beings, can enjoy and glean and celebrate and have the fullness of God on this earth. We can enjoy the presence of God, and not just His presence, but understand His fullness. Have anybody ever been full? Man, I tried to get full yesterday. Wendy came. I was on my second plate. And she looked at me and that wife, like, what are you doing? And I said, I just decided to eat, babe. And I got interrupted from that and couldn't finish my plate. But anyway, I was working at getting full. And so many times we get full physically and we're not full spiritually. God has given us the bread of life, the book of all ages. I'm talking about 66 books of wow. Amen. 66 books of information, encouragement, strength, correction, instruction. And then we walk around running on E all the time. Running on E all the time. Running on E and running out. And broke down on the side of the road. Hoping somebody will stop by and give us a little gasoline. Somebody help me. We got every right as a born again saved individual to be full of God and to enjoy His fullness every day. Can I say it again? Every day. I mean, really? Every day. Hallelujah. Every day I can get full of God. Every day Jesus is there. Hey, His mercy is new every morning. He'll fill your cup every day. He'll fill your cup where it's running over in your saucer. Are y'all with me? Let me ask you this. Have you ever been full of Him? Have you ever got full of God where He's coming out of you? Let me tell you this. Let me just say this. The fruits of the Spirit will never work coming out of you by your own physical works. The way to experience and to walk in the Spirit of God and to bear the fruits of the Spirit of God is have God in you. When you get enough of God in you, then fruits of the Spirit will come out of you. You don't have to worry about doing all these physical works. I'm trying to be loving and trying to be kind and trying to be gentle. You'll just naturally, when you get God in you, you'll just naturally love people. When you get God in you, you'll just naturally be gentle. When you get it full of God, you'll just naturally be a loving, kind person. When you get full of God, you'll naturally stand for truth and stand against the devil and stand against sin with the right attitude and compassion. That was free, I guess. I didn't know I was going to say that. 16, and grace for grace. I want to focus on this. 17, for the law came, the law was given to us by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And God willing, I want to preach maybe a series of messages God wants me to. I'm just trying to follow the Lord and honor the Lord with what He put on my heart. But I want to preach a message on the glimpse of grace this morning. And I want to use chapter 8 of the book of John. If you'll turn there, I want to use this lesson that Jesus is teaching here in this situation that took place to bring out the grace of God. And no doubt that you and I need to experience to get a picture of the grace of God. We as Christians in this rotten world need to experience to get a picture, to get a glimpse of God's grace. Let me say this morning that you're here not by your own efforts, not by your own decision, not by your own thinking, not by your own planning, not by your own strategy, but you and I are here this morning breathing God's holy air, walking on God's precious earth. Hey, living this life only and merely by the good grace of a holy God. Yeah, man. If you and I got what we deserve, friend, we'd be, hey, as Sodom and Gomorrah. I said we'd be as Sodom and Gomorrah. And if America got what she deserved, she'd be as Sodom and Gomorrah. Huh, but my Bible says that thank God that He left a remnant, amen. Hey, that's been washed in the blood. That's been saved by His amazing grace, amen. Hey, we may not be holy with everything. We may not have all of our eyes dotted and our T's crossed, amen. Hey, but we've experienced the grace of God in our lives. We know what the grace of God is. But sometimes we get to look at other places and we need to revisit and re-picture, hey, the whole picture and the whole glimpse of the grace of God. Amen. I was thinking about yesterday, I was thinking about Mary Magdalene. She had 7 devils. And God delivered her and casted out them 7 devils. And you find that she was a devout Christian. She voiced her worship. She voiced her Savior. She loved Jesus. Amen. She gave her all to Jesus. Amen. She anointed Him. She did all these things and wiped and cried at the feet of Jesus and wiped His feet with her tears and her hair in the Bible. And somebody said, hey, couldn't this money be spent to help the hungry? Couldn't this money be spent to help this and start this or do this? And Jesus said, you don't know what you're talking about. Amen. You're thinking in a physical mind. Hey, but if you've ever been where Mary Magdalene was, if you've ever been delivered, how she's been delivered. If you've ever been touched, how she's got touched. If you ever had the amount of grace and applied to your head like she had, you'd be shouting. You'd be praising the Lord. You'd be pouring out your alabaster box too. So many times we're holding back because we forgot and we've not looked at grace lately. Look in John chapter number 8. I'll get to reading this first 11 verses. John 8, Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto Him and sat down with Him, and He taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto Him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto Him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. What sayest thou? Now I'm going to stop right there. I'll read the other verses in a minute. I want to talk about this word, guilty. The word guilty. According to the Scripture in verse number 5, according to Moses and the law, this woman was considered guilty by the law. She had committed adultery, and adultery in the Bible, in the Old and New Testament, of course, is against God and is sin and is wickedness. And it's going to be punished by God. Adultery and fornication and uncleanness is a sin that is sexually and sensually that God states that is an abomination unto God. Sin is not just sin in general. There is degrees of sin, probably just two of them that I found in the Word of God. According to the Word of God, there's an outward sin and an inward sin that God judges mankind for. And adultery and fornication and sodomy and sexual sins is not just an outside sin. That's a sin done within the body. And God separates them. And God judges them in a whole different atmosphere, a whole different degree. And this sin that this lady committed was the sin of adultery. And by the law, she was to be taken outside the city and to be stoned. And the law condemned her. And she would be guilty if she was sitting on a seat and before a judge of this time. And that's what they're doing here. They're trying to catch Jesus at His Word. They're bringing Him before Jesus. The Pharisees brought them, and they'll bring you too. And they'll bring you before the high priest, just like the Pharisees brought Jesus before the high priest Caiaphas. And they tried to find fault with the man. They couldn't find fault with Jesus. And they never could, and they never will. Oh, but this woman here was a woman that is likened to a sinful woman. It doesn't give her name, but my friend, you and I have been in the same place, maybe not by outward or about inward adultery or fornication, but we have been condemned by the law. Somebody go to church. Amen. If you've read the Ten Commandments, and if you've ever broken the Ten Commandments, listen up here, you're condemned by breaking the law of God. And according to the Old Testament law of God, you are condemned to die. You are condemned with no mercy, with no grace, and with no way out. I mean, they're supposed to take you outside the city and stone you like they did Achan and his family. Condemned by the law. Guilty! Guilty by somebody go to church. Help me this morning. Help me this morning. Would you help me? Hey, would you focus with me? And let's get a glimpse of the grace of God. Hey, just shortly this morning, would you pay attention and understand this morning? Hey, that without the grace of God, you wouldn't be here this morning. And you'd be condemned by the very law because you and I have broken the law of God. Secondly, I find in verse number 3, she not only was condemned by the law, but she was condemned by the jury. You see, in verse number 3, it was the scribes and the Pharisees that brought this woman in. And I don't know how they did it, but they caught her in the very act of adultery. They caught her almost like they was walking around trying to find fault with her. Almost like one of them was the one that the situation was happening with. Almost like they were probably in line. And they just decided to try to set Jesus up. And so they bring this, what they think is an unworthy vessel. Listen up, church. What they see in this woman is an unclean vessel. An unworthy vessel. I'm going to have to look at the Lord and preach, amen. And an unsinful vessel, they see this woman. And they see this woman as sinful. They see this woman as ugly. They see this woman as unclean. They see this woman as a smelly. As she's poor. She's the outcast. She lives on the other side of the track. She's nothing. Oh, she's got scars and tattoos and she's got a history and all this stuff. That's what they see in her. And they take her out of her situation and they don't try to help her, but they bring her unto Jesus and try to condemn her. Mankind, the jury is the one that tries to condemn. The jury is sitting here and setting up a physical court and trying to condemn this woman. And let me tell you, by the announcement of the jury, because she already broke the law, the jury, the people had nothing else to say but to honor the law. And whether they wanted to or not, they had to condemn her as guilty, guilty, guilty by the law. You find in verse number 4, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Not only was she condemned and guilty by the jury. And let me tell you, that's how it works. Most of our condemnation is because we've broken the law, and it's always brought up by the jury. It's, you did this, and don't look at me. Hey, but you did this, and I find fault with you. And she found fault with him, and he's found fault with them. And they did this, and she done that. When the Bible tells us and teaches us and the disciples, hey, that we got to get the beam out of our eye before we can remove the mote out of the other eye. And in Matthew chapter 7, it tells us to judge not, unless we be judged for what judgment we judge, we shall be judged again. Can I say, hey, you may be on the jury, friend, and it's not a happy place. It's not an easy place. And I think there's some Christians that like sitting on the jury seat, amen, and they like condemning people. Hey, but what we really need to do is get a glimpse of how wicked we are, how sinful we are, how ungodly we are, how astray we are, how we've went away from God, how we've strayed from the Holy Spirit of God, how we've walked out of God's will. Hey, what we've seen and what we've heard and what we've looked at, and what our hands have touched, amen, and what our mouth has said, and by the jury, we ought to understand, hey, that we're not just. You'll find in verse number 4 that she was condemned not only by the jury, but she was condemned by the very act. The very act, not only did the law condemn her, not only did the jury condemn her, but her own self condemned, her own sin condemned. Can I tell you that sin, listen up, children, not only for children, hey, because when we get to adulthood, hey, sometimes we think we've arrived, amen. Sometimes we think, hey, I don't have to fight no more. I don't have to stay straight no more. I don't have to read my Bible and pray. I don't have to watch what I do no more. My friend, I tell you, they tell me as the older you get, the harder it gets to stay right with God and to stay pure with God. So it's not just for children. But can I say the devil's after you? You're no match for him, amen. Hey, you're no match for him. And the Bible says that sin, we're condemned already by sin. It's sin that has condemned us. I don't have the right, hey, to sit on a jury and condemn you and point my fingers because I deserve to die as well. Yes, amen. Guilty as charged. Guilty as charged. Hey, the gallows would come down. Hey, I should be hung. I should be placed on the court square. You say, preacher, I can't believe you're saying that. I don't belong there. Oh, let me back you up. Let me walk around with you. Amen. Let me read your thoughts. Amen. Put your thoughts on the wall. Amen. Somebody go to church this morning. You know as well as I know that you're a filthy, rotten sinner in the eyes of a holy God. And there ain't nothing inside of me that could ever claim righteousness. I'm guilty. Day is charged. So are you. You say, preacher, that's not popular. It's the truth, amen. We don't preach popularity. We preach the Word of God, amen. I mean, we're guilty by our own sin, by our own self, by our own pride. Let me say this, you should never mistake the long-suffering of God for the acceptance of sin. Hey, just because God's letting you, hey, kind of get by and it seems like you're sinning and God's not judging you and it seems like, hey, you're in the middle of sin and God's not trying to put His finger at you and you did so. Listen up here, look up here. It's just because you're in the middle of sin and it don't seem like, hey, God's chastening you yet. It don't seem like God's got His hounds on you yet. It seems like you're getting by. You woke up the next morning, your bills are paid, you got money for gas, and your car's not broke down, and you're still sinning. Don't tell me, hey, that God's not writing it down. Hey, don't worry about it, friend. There's a God in heaven that's writing it down, and He's not going to forget what you're doing. Never mistake the long suffering of God for Him to for an occasion for you to accept the sin that you're doing. The boomerang's gonna come back. Be sure your sin will find you out. You ain't gonna get by with it. I don't care how secret it is. You ain't going to get by with it. I don't care how secret it is. I don't care if it's in your room. I don't care if it's underneath the house. I don't care if it's in the back, in the bathroom. I don't care if you've got the lights out. I don't care if you've got the door closed. I don't care if you've got the door locked. There's a God in heaven that's watching you. Sin is contagious and sin is toxic. And sin will take you farther than you want to go, friend. It'll put more scars on you than anything in the world. Somebody ought to have church. Amen. Some of your old people ought to be standing up and saying, preacher, you're right. Preacher, you're right. Preacher, you're right. Sin is toxic. Don't go that way. The bridge is out. The bridge is out. The bridge is out. It'll cost you more than you want to pay. Keep you longer than you want to stay. You say, well, I can handle it for a little while. I'll leave in a little while. I can take it for a little while. I can say no after a while. No, you can't, friend. The devil's hook has a barb in it that you're not going to get off. And if God lets you get off by His grace, you'll have a scar there for the remainder of your life. The devil will bring it up while you're trying to pray. The devil will bring it while you're trying to teach a Sunday school class. The devil will bring it up while you're trying to preach. The devil will bring it up while you're laying your head at night, friend. Hey, listen to me, children. Listen to me, children. It ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. God hates sin. God hates it. And you know what? You and I ought to hate it too. We ought to hate sin. Guilty as charged. Verse number 5. They tried to take Jesus. Said Moses and the law commanded us that we should stone them. Because they're guilty by the law. They're guilty by the jury. And they're guilty by their own sin. Listen up. We're guilty. Oh, we're guilty! We're guilty this morning. Several years ago, I was sitting in a group with a bunch of preachers, or standing in a group, and they was talking about some country singer singing Amazing Grace. They said, I wouldn't go across the street to hear him sing Amazing Grace. I'm talking about God smote my heart and said, yeah, that's the problem with you. And I told them too. I said, yeah, that's the problem. You're so self-righteous and pride that just because someone sings country music or whatever, and I don't condone country music, you know that. Hey, but you're going to say you wouldn't go across the street to sing Amazing Grace. Hey, but next Sunday morning in the church pew with your sin and your ungodliness and you ain't did right and you know you ain't made restitution in your life and your secret sin, you're going to raise your hand and you're going to praise the Lord and you're going to sing Amazing Grace and there you are judging the world. Hey, let me tell you, the world don't know no better. The world don't know no better. They're not saved. They're not Christian. But you are, my friend. I'm telling you, we're guilty as charged. But thank God for the amazing grace of God, that this morning we can come in here and we can sit on these padded pews and we can raise our hand to a holy God and say, thank God for His amazing grace. Amen. Then that amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Woo! It sounds a little better, amen. It sounds pretty good to me. I was guilty. I was guilty by the law. I was guilty by the jury. I was guilty by my own sin. But can I tell you this morning, I wasn't brought up before the judge of the earth. I wasn't brought up before a jury on the earth. I wasn't brought up to be judged by my own sin. But they picked the right man to bring me up to. They picked the man Jesus. See, the law came to us by Moses and the law, the prophets. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Can I say they brought the woman to the right man? They didn't bring him to a Baptist preacher. We'd have stoned him. They didn't bring him to a deacon board or a woman's meeting. We'd have stoned him. They didn't bring him before some association. Hey, they had it all, rules and regulations. Amen. They didn't bring him to all that. But they brought him to the man of grace. They brought him to the eyes of the fire, the Holy Ghost of God. They brought him to Jesus. And Jesus says, Jesus does not even address the lady. Watch this. Watch this. Not even addresses the lady, but He addresses them. Didn't say nothing to them. How many of y'all ever did something that you was guilty for? Y'all feeling pretty guilty? Let's say, right now, all of us. Right now, so far, all of us ought to be feeling real guilty right now. Because we deserve the feeling of guilt because of the things that we've done. But let me remind you, you might be judged by something you do on this earth before earthly judge, but you're going to be judged before the Lord. And He's worked it all out where you could be washed from your sins, cleansed from your sins. Somebody go to church. Y'all ought to be shouting, Hey, if I confess my sins, He's faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Yes, amen. Hey, is there anybody been forgiven? Amen. Stand up if you've been forgiven. Stand up and say, I've been forgiven. I've been forgiven. I've been washed in the blood of Calvary. I can stand. The only way you can stand this morning is not because the jury lets you by. The only way you can stand this morning is not because you got by the law or you made some kind of restitution for your sin. The only way you can stand this morning is because God has forgiven you. Y'all can sit down. God forgave you. God forgave you. It was the grace of God that forgave you of your sin. For you to be able to say, or have the tag, and I don't know how they do it. Thank God I've not been in a lot of courts and all that stuff. But they put that, the judge puts the little anvil down and says, not guilty. Did y'all hear that? Not guilty. The law said guilty. The jury said guilty. My sin said guilty. And God said, not guilty. Woo! Hallelujah. I wish I could run. Hey man, my foot's feeling pretty good right now. I don't even feel it. Hallelujah! I'm not guilty! Not guilty! Not guilty! I'm not guilty, number one, because I've been forgiven. Verse number 6, they tempted Jesus. Jesus stooped down, wrote with his finger, wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. Why didn't Jesus hear them? Why didn't he hear their charge guilty? Because he was the one who could change the verdict. He was the one who could change the decision, no matter what the law said, no matter what the jury said, no matter what your sin said. He said, I can say not guilty by my authority and my pureness and my holiness because I'm Jesus. I'm God's darling son. Forgiveness. I'm not guilty, number one, by forgiveness. Number two, by His mercy, verse 7. So when they continued asking Him, that's what the world will do. Continue asking. That's what Satan will do. How many of y'all could witness with me this morning and say, Satan has brought up my sin that I've been forgiven over and over. I mean, listen, it happens to me everywhere I go. He's the enemy. He brings it back up and tries to condemn me guilty. And all I can do is turn to that little booger and say, get thee hiss behind me, Satan. I've been washed. And such were some of you. Such were some of you. I've been forgiven. I've been washed. I've been clean. We sing the song. What song we sing? What's the song? Y'all with me? It's under the blood. Say it again. It's under the blood. It's under the blood. When Satan reminds me and brings in my past, I say it's under the blood. It's under the blood. I'm not guilty because of forgiveness. I'm not guilty because of mercy. He said, he wrote in the sand, verse 7. He says the words, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. That's mercy. Mom, that's the example of mercy. If Jesus didn't have mercy, and they would have been not guilty because they've experienced the mercy of God, they never had rocks in their hands. We're not to carry rocks around. Amen. Drop the rocks. Sam preached on that. Drop the rocks. Amen. Somebody help me. We're not enemies one of another. Our enemy is Satan. Drop the rocks. Hey, experience mercy. Jesus said, He said, he that is without sin, cast the first stone. Hey, if you're sinless, if you've not broke the law, if you've not been condemned by your jury or by your sin, go ahead and throw a rock. Not guilty by mercy. Not guilty by mercy. He stoops down in verse number 8, writes in the sand again. Everybody tried to tell me for years what he wrote. I don't know what he wrote. You don't know what he wrote. But I know he was writing something good. Amen. He might have been writing a love letter to this woman. Hey, saying, hey, if you'll accept. I don't know what he wrote, but verse number 9, this is what I got to tell you. How you're not guilty because of justification. They which heard it being convicted by their own conscience. Convicted by their own conscience. Every person born in this world, God put a conscience in every person, whether they're saved or lost. Whether these men were saved or lost, God revisited the conscience, and they knew that they were guilty, and they were convicted by their own conscience, and they went out one by one, beginning at the eldest even to the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Just you and Jesus. Oh, this ain't helping you like it helped me. Just the woman and Jesus standing there alone. There He is. There is Jesus in the midst of your sin, in the midst of your sorrow, in the midst of man's condemnation, in the midst of the law breaking, in the middle of your sin, your secret sin. There is Jesus. They left. You know why they left? Because they weren't justified. You know why this woman didn't walk out, say thank you, see you later? Because she wanted to be justified. And the only one that could justify her was not keeping the law, was not pleasing the jury, and was not being self-righteous by her own words. But it was Jesus that justified her. She was justified by Jesus in verse number 10. And when Jesus lifted up Himself and saw none but the woman, He said unto her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" She was already condemned. And she said, "No man, Lord." Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." She was not guilty by her redemption. Verse number 10, she watched the accusers, those that accused her, the law, the jury, and the sin walk out the door. And I believe when they walked out the door, her sin walked out the door too. And I believe that she was redeemed, amen, with the precious blood of Christ, because she no longer had an accuser there. She was already knew she'd done wrong. The law had brought her to acknowledgement of her own sin, her own self. The jury had already pushed her to the point. Amen. She knew she was condemned already. That's what John 3:17 says, that we're condemned already. Hey, we're no longer in condemnation. We've been condemned already. And there she was in need of being redeemed. And there was Jesus, the price, amen, the one that could save her, the one that could forgive her, the one that could redeem her. There He was, the pearl of great price. She was redeemed. Jesus saved her, I believe. Jesus said the words in verse number 11, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Not guilty by forgiveness. Listen to me. Not guilty by forgiveness. You want to be not guilty? It's only by forgiveness. You want to be not guilty? Accept God's mercy. You want to be not guilty? Accept His justification. You want to be not guilty? Hey, be redeemed and then walk redeemed. Not that you can lose your salvation, but just I'm talking about remembering you're redeemed. I'm no longer on the condemned crowd. I've been justified by the grace of God. I've been redeemed by His mercy, by His love. Amen. "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." I read a story a while back about a lady that committed a bad, bad crime. And she was condemned to life in prison. The crime that she committed. Nowadays, when you commit a crime, you don't have to wait to the judge usually to find out what sentence you're going to have. They pretty much have a rule, and they pretty much know, you know, to certain things what they're going to have to do. This lady was condemned for life in prison by the sin that she had committed. When she was called to the jury stand, or the question box, what do you call that? The seat. Someone else in the crowd behind her stood up and went up there and took her place. He sat there, and the jury asked him question after question after question. He served as her advocate. He served as her lawyer. He served as her mediator. Question after question was asked. And over a long period of time, the man who sat in their seat had enough wisdom, had enough knowledge, convinced the jury that she was not guilty. That day she walked out as a free woman. And it struck her so hard. She was so grateful. But then she wanted to meet the man that sat in the seat. The next day she commits a crime again just to see if he'd show up again. She commits a crime and they schedule a court appearance and she goes in and there they are again. The same picture, the same scenario. There she is again with a lesser crime, but there is a crime that she is sitting there and she is fixing to get called to the seat to give an account of the thing that she done. And when the officer said, "All arise," and the judge came out, she recognized the judge was the one, hey, that was in the crowd, had stood up and took her place, and took her situation, and took it before the jury, and he was smart enough and wise enough, hey, to let her go. And can I say to you that your judge and this lady's judge was not only none other than Jesus Christ said him. He is your advocate. He is your mediator. He is your go-between. And you're not going to stand before earthly people, but you're going to stand before the Prince of Peace, the Judge of all the earth. And when you stand before God, washed in His precious blood, forgiven, washed in His mercy, justified from sin, redeemed by His love, He's going to declare to you, not guilty. Not guilty. Woo! Not guilty. Not guilty! That's my son. That's my daughter. That's the blood wash. I saved them. I washed them. They've been forgiven. I know it seems like they've been in sin. I know it seems like they've done wrong. I know it seems like they're condemned. But I washed them in my own blood. And I died for them on an old rugged cross. And I paid their sin debt. And I was buried. But I rose again victorious and triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. And they are not guilty. Not guilty. Not guilty. Picture of the grace of God is there is the only righteous one that could ever condemn us. There's the righteous one that could send us to hell and we ought to. He's standing there before God the Father. He says, "Is her name in the book of life?" He says, "Andy Riley. He's in the book." He's in the book! Not guilty. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Let's prepare for invitation. This week I was reminded of a verse in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 19. "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal." Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth what? Sure. Having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His. Think about it with me. He knows that you're His. He knows who's not His. And He knows who is His. And my Bible says in Romans chapter number 8, hey, that sin should not have dominion over us. Amen. He said, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." He said, "There is therefore no condemnation." There is now, therefore, no condemnation. No condemning, no jury, no judge, no one to condemn you, because God saved you, and God cleansed you, and God justified you, and God washed you from your own sin. There's not a soul on earth that can condemn you no more, because God said, if you've been washed in the blood, if you've been saved, if you're a child of the King, He said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more." Heavenly Father, thank you, Heavenly Father, for your grace today. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your long suffering. I don't want to take it for granted. Thank you, Lord, that you placed the tag over the Christian that's been washed in the blood, not guilty. Not guilty. When the law condemned me, Lord, you cleansed me. When the jury condemned me, you stood in my place and you convinced them by the grace of God that I could be cleansed and washed.